The situation for many businesses is still dire. 900,000 of them are getting JobKeeper payments and 200,000 have stopped trading as a result of the pandemic. Kate Carnell is the Australian Small Business and Family Enterprise Ombudsman. Kate Carnell, welcome to AM.
Thanks very much, Sabra.
How tough is it for small business and what clear signals does the government need to give them in the July mini budget?
Look, it's really, really tough out there. You know, we're still seeing businesses with 30% fewer staff than they had before COVID started. Cash flow is still a huge problem. Absolutely, JobKeeper has been fantastic for many, many small businesses, but it's really life support. And without that life support, they're in all sorts of trouble. So what needs to happen from the government is there needs to be a longer-term plan for small businesses, particularly those businesses in the areas most affected by COVID. Those are areas around tourism, hospitality, the arts, events. Those areas really are still in very early stages of recovery, if recovering at all. And some areas in tourism, as you can imagine, are still a long way away from recovery.
The Securities Commission figures show a big drop in insolvencies being reported in April. There's no data since. The government has changed the rules around reporting insolvencies during the COVID crisis. How concerned are you that in a perverse way, JobKeeper might in fact be helping some businesses stay afloat when perhaps they shouldn't?
Oh, there is no doubt that that's what's happening. JobKeeper and the changes in insolvency rules have meant that for a lot of businesses, they're just literally bouncing along the bottom. Some people are calling them the zombie businesses, you know, the living dead. And I think that's really true. JobKeeper is keeping them afloat to an extent, as is putting off bank repayments, not paying the ATO, putting off or deferring a whole lot of rent on premises. All of those sorts of things are being pushed down the road, and it means that they can stay afloat, hoping against hope, I suppose, that they might be able to keep going for a bit longer. But it's a downside better to decide to go now than to accumulate debt further.
Anecdotally, there are stories of small businesses finding it hard to fill job vacancies and they're blaming JobKeeper. Are you hearing that and is there any hard evidence?
Look, it's all anecdotal, and yes, we've had a number of complaints from small businesses that have tried to get the people, particularly their long-term casuals that are on JobKeeper, to come back and take shifts because they have to be paid anyway, so they have to get $1,500 a fortnight, whether they're working or not, and casuals can always say no to a shift. So there's those reports, and then there's reports of businesses that are trying to get job seeker people on job seeker into jobs, and have been told that really, you know, they don't want to go and do certain sorts of jobs because job seeker is okay. But it's really anecdotal. I think most people want to work. I certainly know that most small businesses want to get back to trading, and they want their staff back on board. So I think that's at the margins.
On superannuation, on the one hand, you are worried about the scheduled increase in the compulsory super guarantee next year and by the anecdotal stories of young women draining their super accounts. What are your thoughts on both?
Look, there is no doubt that, as we know, there is a huge number, over a million Australians have taken money out of their super, and many of those are younger people. In fact, the majority of those are younger people, and they have, you know, literally drained their super. Many, particularly young women in that space, it'll be really, really hard for them to get their super back to any sort of a level that will give them a decent retirement. So this is a significant problem. So we can fully understand why the unions and others and the government want to increase the compulsory super levy. But remember, a 2.5% increase in super is just a 2.5% wage increase from a small business or a business perspective. And I tell you what, there won't be too many small businesses who will be in a position to afford a 2.5% across the board increase in wages over the next 12 or 18 months. And that's how long many of the experts are saying this will take for recovery purposes. And that's, of course, assuming that there is a vaccine and we get COVID under control.
Just quickly on that point about women draining their accounts, how should the government be thinking about how those women possibly can make that up?
Look, I think it's really important that after this is over, you know, hopefully sooner rather than later, the government put in place an incentive program to encourage people to put their super back. In other words, when they're back in work, when they are earning again, to have a tax incentive to put in what they're allowed to put into super, but to get that money that they drew out back into the super scheme. It's in everyone's best interest. It's in the country's best interest, because we want people to have super when they retire, so they're not reliant on the old age pension if possible. So I think there is going to need to be a major plan with real incentives for people to get their super back to where it would have been prior to COVID.
Kate Carnell, thanks for talking to AM.
Thank you, Sabra.
At Small Business and Family Enterprise Ombudsman, Kate Carnell.